So I'm Nupur Chowdhury. I'm the health coordinator at the Brownsville Partnership, and this is Jackie Kennedy here, the outreach coordinator at the Brownsville Partnership. And we'd like to talk to you a little bit about our insights when launching our Steps to a Healthier Brownsville campaign. So we have no relationships to disclose. And so I think we all know that the research has shown that there's a link between high crime areas and high rates of obesity and chronic disease. And we at the Brownsville Partnership use this information as well as direct input from the community to shape our health program planning. But before we delve into our findings and our work on the ground, Jackie and I will take you a little bit through the background of Brownsville, Brooklyn, set the scene in terms of the health landscape in Brownsville, talk a little bit about the mission of the Brownsville Partnership, because I think that's really important for the story of why our health work is shaped in the way that it is, and then talk a little bit about our successes and challenges in Brownsville, and we would encourage all of you to suggest, critique, and encourage.
Great. So Brownsville, Brooklyn, is actually located in central Brooklyn and is less than 2 square miles. So what makes Brownsville so unique is that it has the highest concentration of New York City Housing Authority, that's public housing, in America. So that includes 18 NYCHA developments. This doesn't, however, include the additional developments that are subsidized affordable housing in the neighborhood. So also keep in mind that each NYCHA development is made up of several buildings. So that could be three, you know, high-rise 20-floor buildings to maybe 20 buildings that make up one development. So Brownsville is incredibly dense. 84% of Brownsville residents are actually renters, and about 16% actually own houses in Brownsville. So if you think about it, we have a very high density of low-income individuals. So let's talk a little bit about the quality of life of Brownsville. Our total population is about 86,000. Majority black, 76% of Brownsville residents are African-American, Caribbean, with a growing Hispanic, Latino population, which right now is about 20%. A large amount of our population is actually made up of individuals 18 and under. I also would love to point out that we have a senior population that is about 10%. So these would be what people call the vulnerable populations, but the populations that really we mainly work with and choose to address. So lastly, I just want to point out that our violent crime rate is at about 10%, and I'll get into this number a little later. So a little more about the quality of life. Brownsville's median household income is about $27,000. This is compared to New York City's median household income, which is about $55,603. So stark contrast, huge comparison, and, you know, really, you know, makes it stand out that we're dealing with a very low-income population. Also, more than half of Brownsville residents are receiving some form of cash assistance. That includes Medicaid, Social Security. A lot of our residents receive EBT, which are food stamps. So they make up about 52.3% of the population gets cash assistance. So next, this is an aerial view of Brownsville, and not all of Brownsville, but the area that we really focus our attention on. So if you look to the right of the screen, the green grassy kind of tree area is really the public housing developments that we focus our attention on. You can see the huge footprint of public housing versus that of private housing. I would also like to point out that the lack of income variety in the neighborhood's landscape really creates a very isolated and divisive environment for low-income residents in our community. So the next slide here actually really makes it stand out, the fact that the white shaded area is the private housing versus the public housing developments that are, you know, squared off and that are green. I'd also like to point out that about 20% of the population actually lives in that large square. So again, very dense, very low income. So we focus here at the Brownsville Partnership, we focus our work on about 6 developments, all of which are in those squares. And we focus our work on the families that really are at the most need, and they're at the most risk of being evicted from public housing and then put into the shelter system. So not only do we focus on Brownsville as a high-need neighborhood, but we really zero in on the most high-need areas within the community to provide direct services and programming. So with that background on Brownsville, I'll pass it to Nupur to touch a bit on the health indicators.
Great. So just looking at the health landscape a bit. So Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's Take Care Community Health Profile for Central Brooklyn, which includes Brownsville, says that adults in this area are more likely to be obese, 29% as shown on the slide, as opposed to the 23% for Brooklyn-wide. And the United Hospital Fund report estimates that about 12.3% of neighborhood residents are diabetic, compared with 9.7% Brooklyn-wide. And something else that I'd like to point out is that in Central Brooklyn, 47% of residents do not regularly engage in any form of physical activity. So I'm just going to say that again. 47% of people in Central Brooklyn do not regularly engage in any form of physical activity. And so really, you know, what Jackie's talking about, this high-need, low-income area, extremely high violent crime rates. The violent crime rates are the highest by precinct in all of New York City. And these high chronic disease indicators, this is really where we're working. And so I'm just going to pass it back to Jackie, and she can tell a little bit about the Brownsville Partnership, how we do what we do, and why we do what we do.
So the Brownsville Partnership is a community-based nonprofit that really focuses on building a safer, healthier, more prosperous community. We're an initiative of Community Solutions, which is a national organization, which is formerly that of Common Ground, if anybody knows the huge Common Ground national organization. So in 2005, our president and founder, Roseanne Haggerty, began work in Brownsville specifically because Brownsville had the highest, had the sixth highest rate of cyclical, of families really being evicted from public housing and then put into the shelter. So this is family cyclical homelessness. So we actually started off focusing on direct services, which is providing eviction prevention services, and we piloted our shelter to home program. And then we really grew to include programs that, you know, included community mobilization and community health. So Community Solutions as an organization really believes in finding solutions to communities' most challenging problems. And so we identify the issues, and then we come up with transformative solutions and really try them out in the community and make sure that they're effective and can really have an impact on communities, not just in Brownsville, but around the country. So we've grown, like I said, from a single eviction prevention program to the four programs now in 2012, but we also partner with over 30 other organizations that work to provide that same service and programs to the Brownsville community. So some of our major partners that have helped us to really work on this mission of building a safer, more healthier, and prosperous community include SEO Family of Services, the Brownsville Recreation Center, and the Center for Court Innovation. But specifically in the health realm, the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene have been great partners. Grow NYC, which is formerly the Mayor's Council on the Environment, the New York Police Department's Local Community Affairs Unit, New York City Department of Transportation, and New York Roadrunners are just some few partners that have really helped us do our work. So now to move on to the mission of the Brownsville Partnership and the mission and the methods of our work here in Brownsville. We truly believe in that of constant communication with residents. We do this specifically through our three-step house meeting model. We also have frequent issue-based community meetings. This gives community ownership over the change that they really want to see. We've learned that it is incredibly important to report back the successes that we've made in our programming and our services, but also to report things that were less successful and how we can change and improve over time. We truly believe that residents know what the problems are, and they have the power and the capacity to come up with the solutions and be an active part of the process. So how do we utilize the 30 partners that I just talked about So we do this through a strength-based approach, knowing that each organization understands their strengths, they know their capacity, and it's also this approach that we use in addressing our families. They know their strengths, they know how to kind of help themselves, and we just facilitate that process. So an example of the partnerships that we build with the partners and with the families. Say, for instance, a family comes into our office. Maybe they heard of us through a community meeting, or we left a flyer under their door. Through talking to them and building a relationship with them, we find out that there's a young daughter who's maybe a first-time mother. We would then, through referral process, contact Nurse Family Partnership, one of our close partners, and they would then follow up with her, and we would follow up to ensure that she received services. So that's just one way we work with our partners to make sure our residents receive proper services. So we partner with residents, again, through this three-step house meeting process. We call them coffee clutches. And it's a three-step meeting. So the first meeting, we talk about the concerns. We air our grievances. The second meeting, we really come up with the solutions. And in the third meeting, we sit down after we've prioritized, you know, the top three solutions, and we have a visioning process. What can you see happening in your community? What are the changes that you can really, really see taking place, and what can you be a part of? So it was actually during these coffee clutches that we were able to make our most important discovery on how to do the health work in Brownsville, Brooklyn. It was also this model that led us to the premise that in order to decrease health disparities in Brownsville, you have to create healthier spaces in order to create safer spaces, or to create safer spaces in order to create healthier spaces. So in these meetings that we had, the main topic of discussion was how much I do not feel safe because of this area. So in really, really looking to start our health work, the first meeting we had was about walkability and bikeability. And from that, a lot of people said, I do not feel safe because it's not well lit and I can't walk over in this area. Or I can't walk down Rockaway and Livonia because that corner, it doesn't have enough of police presence. And I can't do exercise at that park because it's not well lit. So residents' sentiment about their lack of safety really reflected in their physical activity. So now just to talk a little bit about why they feel this way. As Newbert was saying, the violent crime rate in New York City is about 4.4. This is per 1,000 people. In Brownsville, it's almost three times higher, with a violent crime rate of 13.1. This is per 1,000 individuals. So the micro-level conversations that we were having during our coffee clutches were really reflected and in indicative of the macro-level data that are shown here. During our time in Brownsville, there's been numerous violent crimes, and I can go through a list of them, but some that really stand out to us are the crimes that happened around our schools. One young child was shot at on his way to school, and only because he was affiliated, or his uncle or brother was affiliated with one of the local gangs. Another woman, this made national news, Dorana Horton, mother of 12 children, was shot and killed in the crossfire of two local gang members, although the dispute was very, you know, much non-gang related, but nonetheless she was shot and killed because of crime and violence. So these are the realities that our residents have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And this is also, you know, the challenges that we have to deal with when we're really trying to increase active living in Brownsville. So it is important to remember that 47% of people that Newper just talked about, this is why they're inactive. This is why they don't feel safe. So from these house meetings, this is the understanding that we came to. So now I'll let Newper talk a little more about the methods that we use to really try to integrate violence prevention with chronic disease prevention.
All right. So one of the first methods that we used of integrating these two pieces of violence prevention and chronic disease prevention is in the form of an outdoor urban walking trail. So you can see this picture. This is actually through one of our housing developments. It's Brownsville Houses. You know, our hope is to expand it to maybe the 18 different developments, but, you know, it's wishful thinking, but we're going to keep on trying. And so what does it look like? It's a walking trail that includes banners or wayfinding signage that features public housing residents throughout Brownsville, so not just Brownsville Houses. with messages about what they do to stay healthy. And so this is actually in direct response to, I don't know if any of you guys are from New York, they have a campaign that says, like, you know, make New York City your gym. So we really thought that public housing residents can talk to each other about what they do to stay healthier. So you can see this through this wayfinding signage. And, you know, one of our pieces in terms of our health campaign, we really took an innovative approach and really tried to change things up by calling it Steps to a Healthier Brownsville. And so the idea is that there's not really one definition of being healthy, that actually each resident can take one step to live a healthier life. And that step is self-defined, right? So Doris here actually is wheelchair-bound, but what she does to stay healthy is that she exercises. She does chair exercises with me sometimes every Wednesday. And she takes her medicine, and she takes it on time. So, you know, these messages liven up the otherwise visually dead space in some of these public housing projects and within them. And by doing that, it really creates a designated space for physical activity in the Brownsville neighborhood. And so I don't know how many of you guys have read Jane Jacobs' Death and Life of Great American Cities, but she was a big proponent of really activating space and having more eyes on the street. And by designating a space for physical activity outdoors, we're hoping to kind of make that happen. So another method that we actually use is through resident-led tours. Jackie mentioned this, either through walking tours or bike tours. And these tours highlight locations, intersections, or streets for improvement. In the case of walking tours, a resident will take the lead to highlight locations that he or she feels needs improvement. This could include pointing out broken streetlights. It could include missing stop signs. In the case of bike tours, our routes were defined by previous community town hall meetings that highlighted spaces or spots that were unsafe or safe to bike through. And so these tours not only get residents out and moving in their community, but it also ensures that residents are really heard. In the case of the bike tours, Department of Transportation was invited out and the Department of Health to hear these grievances. In the case of walking tours, the complaints were logged by Jackie and myself and sent out to the relevant city agencies to make sure that their voices were really heard. And then also by repeatedly facilitating these tours, the Brownsville residents see walks and bike tours in their neighborhood, and they're encouraged to do the same. They're encouraged to bike or walk to join us in these tours. So it's temporary, but it's actually visually changing the space that they're living in and they're working in and they're spending time in. And it's being changed by Brownsville residents for Brownsville residents. So the third method, I know that we're running out of time, so our third method is our youth market. And the youth market actually is in partnership with Grow NYC, the Mayor's Council on the Environment. And what it is really is that it's a youth-run farm stand. What it looks like is that it's literally, you can see on this slide, that it's five tables, four tents. It's, you know, a truck with produce on it, and it's a cash box. And we started with one, and we employed five kids from the community. And this summer, and right now, actually, we have three youth markets with 15 kids employed. So when you talk to the youth, they really aren't thinking about, you know, working at this farm stand to change indicators in terms of obesity or diabetes. When you talk to them, they really say that they want to be a part of something positive. They want to stay out of trouble. They saw it on the corner last summer, and they really wanted to be a part of that, and they wanted to see how they could get involved. But in terms of what we're doing, we have 1 minute. These farm stands have really created healthy corners. And so these are spots to go to for fresh and healthy produce. You know, and these, again, are corners that we're activating that were previously high crime corners. So we specifically chose corners that were, we knew had a lot of violent activity, and we specifically chose those spaces to actually answer back through this health intervention. So really these methods facilitate residents taking back the space and really give community members a sense of ownership over where they live. And this is usually very, very difficult, seeing as NYCHA is the biggest landowner, the New York City Housing Authority. And so in reality, these methods can be really categorized as visible neighborhood change, but it's through the realm of health. And so our method of activation is a health intervention, and our place of activation is high crime public spaces. You know, really trying to turn around and create safe and healthy spaces. And so this is not without challenges. You know, I don't think we really have time to go into some of these challenges, but, you know, our walking trail is through one of the housing developments, and there always is territorial disputes. So if you don't live through Brownsville houses, it's very hard for you to actually walk through that spot, which is why we're trying to get them in different development, so people do not feel like they have to feel unsafe, even though, you know, that's one of our goals, you know. So that's one of our biggest challenges for the walking trail. In terms of our resident-led tours, both biking and walking, really having the community trust and sustained participation and patience both in the work and seeing the work through. So, you know, being a part of these bike tours, being a part of these walking tours, really logging where the safe and unsafe places are, but then having sustained participation and knowing that it's going to take a while to change it, that's been a huge challenge for us. And with our youth market, we're always trying to balance profits in terms of we do sell the produce. We accept EBT, we accept WIC coupons, but we sell it. And it's always this balance of knowing that we're not always the most profitable youth market in New York City, but it's important for us to be there, and there's a reason why we're on these corners. You know, I think one of the other challenges that we often deal with, and I think that this is something probably for the Q&A, is that, you know, we're a community-based organization. We don't have ties to a research institution. And so we've been doing this for, I think, about the past year and a half since I started at the Brownsville Partnership, and we're really trying to understand how we can quantify the qualitative results. Yes. So we hear a lot, you know, from people who are saying, you know, I was waiting for the youth market to come out. I was not on this corner before. You guys are out here, so now I'm going to be out here. They come for music performances. They come for our health screenings. How do you quantify that? How do you quantify it in a way that we can expand it so that maybe we could have a youth-run farm stand on more than three corners? How do you expand it so that we can actually have a walking trail in, you know, 17 other developments? How do you expand it so that we can have Department of Transportation come out to every single meeting that we have? So that, I think that's one of the biggest questions that we have, and we're really excited to hear what you guys have to say for that. And I know that we totally went over time, but thank you.